the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Postmodernity, explains J.I. Packer, is popularly equated with the denial that there's any such thing as universal public truth. The idea that there is only my truth and your truth. But there is no such thing, no such truth that is true for everybody. Grim, but true. Especially in this day and age. The Apostle Paul seems to sum up Packer this way. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. Human nature seems to have a tendency of wanting to be on top, to be first, to have the answers before anyone else. We strive to support our opinions based on what we learn from the varied sources of intellect that permeate our televisions, our computers, and our newspapers. What we learn and what we accept as truth establishes our view of the world and those around us. Unfortunately, it is no longer a simple matter to distinguish between fact and fiction. Our country, and the world around us for that matter, have become so polarized to the extremes that it seems as though there are two truths that are diabolically opposed in every argument and opinion. Who do we listen to? Who should we listen to? Is it possible that one side of our political debate is 100% right and the other wrong to the opposite extreme? Inevitably, someone will say yes. Or is it more feasible to accept that mankind, infected by sin, suffers the illnesses of arrogance and narcissism as the fight for dominance continues? We do seem to suffer fools gladly. And our adherence to party lines has quite possibly buried the truth. In the pre-king days of Israel, they were warned that following a worldly leader over God would be tragic. Samuel was getting old, his sons were ungodly judges, and the people were demanding that a king be put over them. Well, Samuel is irritated. He knew that they needed to walk with God and not do as the other nations did. But they were persistent and said unto him, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Are they really concerned with righteousness? About to leave that for another sermon. But the thing displeased Samuel. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Samuel, hearken unto the voice of thy people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me." Here we are reminded that we do not see things as clearly as we think. And in today's world, we continue down the same path. Whom do we seek? God? Or do we suffer fools gladly? And because of our devotions, do we see ourselves as wise as we berate those on the other side who may be our Christian brothers and sisters as well? Or have we become the fools? Now listen once again to the second verse from our reading today. "For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face." I wonder why so many of us do not realize that many of our own sufferings are self-inflicted because of what we accept as truth, and by whom we acquire that truth. For if we step away from biblical principles and morality, the path before us only gets darker. If we are not careful, we can be deceived into believing lies that may risk our very salvation. Case in point. In 1989, Sergei Antolovich Tarop, a traffic officer in Siberia, Russia, came to the conclusion at age 29 that he was the Word of God and the second coming of Jesus Christ. He has two wives and a following that ranges from 5,000 to 10,000 devotees. Nobody knows for sure. His church is called the Church of the Last Testament. And Sergei is in the process right now of writing his 12-volume follow-up to the New Testament. His church strives unto this very day, influencing many that a new age has dawned. The attraction comes in the form of a peaceful utopia against the backdrop of a world spinning out of control. People are seeking, but where they go for answers will dictate the path they will choose. Some may fall into a political trap. Some may try to escape to a secluded paradise. But in the end, it will be God who will give the final answer. I suggest we do our best to avoid the guidance of fools. Even as Paul's epistle to the Corinthians continues, we can witness in our own current state of affairs how little progress man has made in the heeding the words of God himself, if we can even call it progress. We remain easily swayed and strongly influenced by promising words that defeat the purposes for which we are intended to be the children of God and of God only. Not solely members of a political debate or a commune of distracted followers. Paul tells us to stand up for the truth, to be bold in the face of reproach. Are they Hebrews? Are they Israelites? Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I, Paul tells us. We could ask the same thing today. Are they Republicans? Are they Democrats? Are they Americans? Are they Russians? Are they Israelites? Are they Orthodox? Are they Roman? Are they Nazarene? So are we could say. What Paul is telling us is that we are all equal and we are all equally subject to God Almighty. We do not need to look down darker paths seeking answers to suit us, but rest in the Word of God where the answers are right before our eyes. No political process or self-inflated guru is worthy of the private interpretation of truth over the guiding spirit of the Holy Ghost. And so, then comes the most important question that we can ask. Are they ministers of Christ? As far as I'm concerned, that is the most important question. If we are going to put someone in a place of authority over us, should not our priority be to ensure that the person be a godly leader? Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior have become the children of God and are the ministers of Christ. That includes you and I. Only those who profess such a faith are willing to carry out God's will, even when it's not popular with the masses. Some of our political leaders on both sides are men and women of God, and they have a difficult task before them. We must be supportive no matter what side of the aisle they are on, testing their words and actions, and willing to suffer with them when ridicule comes our way. Paul was no stranger to pain, and we should be willing to accept our lot when it comes. Paul could care less what they did to his body, for he properly understood that to be absent from this world was life in Christ, and the torments he suffered would not compare to the glories he would experience after death. Some, even today, suffer the pain of death in the name of Jesus Christ. We do them no justice by failing to remind our kings and authorities that truth is found in the Almighty, not agendas. So what must we focus on as we move along this earthly journey? Are all our answers found in the political arena or a utopian pursuit? These worldly ventures will have their end. And then what? What will be left? How about the truth? Paul tells us that beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Despite worldly pullings and our naive leanings towards this thing or that, it is the care of God's church that remains priority over kings and kingdoms. No matter how ardently mankind has tried to rid itself of the Almighty, there will be a day when all of creation will praise him. For we will realize that in our self-inflicted chaos, it was he who kept us from annihilating ourselves. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. Paul assures us that all the pain we endure to preach the gospel of Christ will be our blessing and our strength. We live in an uncertain world at best, and the power of the Almighty is required in order to fight the good fight. Jesus did not die for you to leave you on your own, come what may. His Spirit resides within your very core. Come forward today and consume the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who inhabits your very soul, that you may have the fortitude to walk in truth, being defended against all adversity, and letting your light shine in a world lost in its ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.